Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
This is the home of Jerry's percentages.
My give a shit meter is lower than Phil Kessel playing in Arizona.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, Steve Phillips coming up here in a moment, and we got to get into some real journalism with him. Does that old woman in Philly have a lawsuit on her hands after the Philly fanatic shot a hot dog off her face? So the Philly fanatic, I guess this is his routine. I got to be careful with this. He's got like a hot dog gun, which is pretty stupid. Who wants to catch hot dogs? Why would you want to catch a hot dog?
Would you eat one?
Yeah, there's no ketchup or anything around. Like,
well, that's what you're worried about?
That's exactly what I would be worried about.
Yeah, that there's no ketchup?
Is there ketchup on that?
I'm not eating a dog without mustard and ketchup.
No, me
no
neither.
No way. Maybe a pickle and a hot pepper.
And you can't have, like, ingredients on the hot dog with the hot dog gun. There's onions flying all over the place.
No, I think they're probably wrapped in tin foil, like, wrapped up nice and tight. That's probably what made it like a bullet.
It's like a pellet gun.
She's got, like, a black eye.
Yeah, this woman, like, it really... we're not joking around here. This is real stuff. She took one right off the melon.
It's not good.
And the Philly fanatic, I don't think you can sue the... I guess you can. You can sue the team.
Yeah.
But it's not like the Philly fanatic did anything wrong. Unless he was right, if he was like 2 feet away from her
and
being an idiot.
Just blasted her in the face.
But
no, it looks like he's driving around in like a John Deere and launches it up. And she's not paying attention.
And she took a hot dog off the head.
Yeah, it's not... it's an accident, but I mean, you always ask why. It's avoidable.
Well, what's annoying about this, again, is she probably will sue, and now they're never going to do it again.
Right.
The result will be, obviously, we can't have a hot dog gun. Well, we can't shoot hot dogs into the crowd.
Honestly, like if you're doing game day ops, I don't know how the hot dog gun got passed. T-shirts all day long. People love it. They're losers. They're cheering. Rich adults in Toronto go nuts over a T-shirt. It's just like, go ahead and do it.
But are they,
or they float the things out of the sky with the little parachute, and there's another gift pack to Canadian Tire. Like,
yeah.
But the hot dog gun, where you're launching hot dogs?
I kind of like the
idea. To people's eye sockets?
I don't like that. That I don't like. And you're right. Like, you must have had some velocity on it, too.
Oh, for sure, man. The exit velocity. It was like a Giancarlo Stanton home run. You see him with that walk-off last night? And the pitcher, the second it connected, he just started yelling.
Of course.
They were down 5-0, I think.
They were. Like, the Yankees are just having a magical year. And so is Boston. Like, it's really frustrating because
back to the old days. It's back to the old days.
It feels like the early 2000s all over again. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Where it's Boston and New York, and then everybody else is just a donkey in
Tampa
the division.
Tampa Bay, Orioles, Jays are just a bunch of donkeys hanging around.
Yeah, it is. It's not good.
You're peasants. You're pigeons. Right? Like, that's basically what it is. These two teams are they're both going to win over 100 games. Two teams in the same division are going to have over 100 wins.
Yeah,
and everybody else on pace for, like, you know, maybe Tampa kind of can hover around 500. Like, the Jays are 5 games under 500.
I like that you said, like, everyone else is just donkeys.
Just a donkey. That's what it is. That's the reality. And the Jays are in Anaheim, 4-game series beginning tonight. Marcus Stroman expected to pitch on Saturday. Opportunity for you to watch Mike Trout. I mean, I know it's on the West Coast and the game's at like 10 o'clock tonight, but if you want to watch maybe the best athlete in pro sports, who gets the least amount of publicity?
Zero.
It's Mike Trout.
Zero's the wrong, but like...
doesn't get much.
No.
Compared to what LeBron gets, what Brady gets, even what a guy like Crosby or McDavid get in the NHL.
It's the market that he plays in way out there. The time change.
He also has the personality of wallpaper. Like, he's... I don't remember hearing him talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't pick out his voice.
What about, you talking Mike Trout?
Mike Trout.
How about the commercials? Do you ever see any commercials for Mike Trout? It's like, he's got to be one of those marketable athletes, man. He's easily the best player, one of the best players ever to play.
Yes.
Good looking dude. He's jacked.
Nothing.
He must just say the hell with all of it, which I kind of have an appreciation for. How much more does he need?
Maybe he's Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Maybe
Tim
just
Duncan was like that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Duncan was like that. He said, leave me alone. I'm staying down here in San Antonio. Don't tell me about the Lakers and the Bulls and the Knicks. I'm not going. I'm staying here my whole career. I don't want sponsorships.
Even,
I don't want anything. Leave me
retired.
Alone. Like,
yeah. He just, I'm good.
One night out of nowhere. I'm done. The retirement night. Remember the retirement night wasn't even publicized.
I know.
Guy had his number retired, and it was like on a random Tuesday night against Memphis or something.
Yeah, he's just like, all right, I'm good.
Just so unassuming.
I like that, though. I don't mind that once in a while. You like the people that are flamboyant. You like people. You want storylines, but this guy just goes about his business and great player.
Yeah.
I guess Sid's a little bit like that, but Sid's come out of his shell. McDavid's a lot. Well, but McDavid's doing commercials and stuff.
Wasn't it weird that Crosby wasn't there last night?
Yeah, I didn't see him there.
I didn't see him either. I didn't see anything. I was searching.
Guys are busy, man. You think it's just because it's Sidney Crosby you should mandatory be there?
Yeah.
I do.
You're trying to showcase your night. This is your. He's the poster boy of your league, and he's not at the award show?
Maybe at the poster boy.
Not up for anything.
But then put him up for something.
But what?
I don't know, but something.
What, are you going to falsify and put him in a category and screw somebody else out of a category because you want him there?
Yes.
You know what you do? You do it like the British or the European tour. You say, we'll give you $300,000 to show up.
Fine. He had to be there last night. Imagine the NBA Awards and LeBron isn't there. Could you ever imagine in your life LeBron not being there?
Or you just say to Sid, I don't even know if the NHL, whatever. You show up and we'll pay for your vacation with your girlfriend or whatever after.
Well, I mean, that's chump change for him. He can do that straight cash.
I don't know. I don't know how you would get him there, but I wouldn't go.
I don't have the answer either, but I think he should have been there. I think the league should have been like, we have to get you here.
I think he's in Europe training. Did you not see that video of him?
Yeah, he's in Switzerland training with a hockey team.
Yeah, he was skating with a hockey team.
I totally disagree. Totally disagree.
Well, I think at the very least, doesn't it take away from the award show?
Dude, he's not up for an award. Do you think somebody watching the program would say, oh, it's just not the same. I don't see Sid's face every 7 minutes when they pan. Think about what you're saying.
I'm talking about the principle of the fact.
The principle.
You're promoting your sport, and he's the poster boy. I just think it's strange that the poster boy of your league wouldn't be at a big event for you.
The only one thing I could figure out is if they wanted to include him in the Hart presentation and have him out there with Sedin, Messier, Ovechkin, and Lindros.
Yeah, well, and with like, all of the...
Was Ovechkin up for anything last night?
No.
Well, no, hold on, he won something.
He won the Rocket. That's not a nominee. It's not he knows he won the Rocket.
He was presenting, too. But I think Ovi had a little skit. They included him in it. I think Sid was like, nope, I'm not going. I didn't win anything. It's Ovi's time right now. Let him. McDavid won.
I'm not saying you chain him to the seat, but I'm talking in generalities.
When you think the NHL, he should be there.
When regardless. You think of a showcase event, don't you think the face of the league would be a part of it?
Yeah.
It just seems strange to me.
It does, but they didn't win. He didn't win anything, and I think he was out. Like, and you can't force him to go.
No, I'm not saying you can force him to go.
Because he's the type of guy who's staring at, like Ovi winning the cup, and it's probably driving him nuts.
Well, he's got three. Give it up at some point.
But Sid's one of those guys. I think he's one of those guys that would feel one-upped by Ovi in this situation because they beat them.
Maybe.
I just, that's my impression of Sidney Crosby. Like, this guy's training in Europe right now, like skating and...
Well, I hear you, but, dude, there's a lot of...
I get
you know, Pekka Rinne was probably in Finland, too, and he came back for the awards.
Yeah.
The awards don't sneak up on people.
No, you're right.
You know it's the Wednesday of the draft week every single year. It's not like a shock for anybody.
Yeah.
All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our Jays analyst, TSN baseball analyst, Steve Phillips. How you doing, Steve?
Oh, I'm doing great. Good to be with you.
So we're talking about the Philly fanatic in Philly and the hot dog gun. I mean, you would have witnessed that, I'm sure, a lot when you were playing the Phillies and when you were in Philly. But this screams lawsuit. Do you think this is going to be the end of the Philly fanatic?
I don't. It sounds like the woman's not even going to sue. She just wants free hot dogs, I think. Think about that. You know, they had it wrapped in tape, and the reason that they did it, because at times those hot dogs have exploded. when they've been shot into the stands and everybody ended up with pieces of hot dog on their clothes. So I think the Fanatic is the best mascot in sports. And, you know, the chicken back in the day, the San Diego chicken was always a great one, too. But you know, the Fanatic is outstanding. I think they may have to curtail some of the shooting things into the stands for fear of, you know, future litigation. But I suspect they may have dodged the bullet with this one. You know, I've got my own Philly Fanatic story from back in the day. I think it was the 93 World Series. I was an administrative assistant for minor leagues and scouting and was at the World Series in Philadelphia. And the Fanatic, you know, he does all these different antics and stuff. And so he's down behind the screen at home plate. And all of the major league executives are sitting, you know, behind the screen there for the World Series from all of the different franchises in Major League Baseball. And I'm feeling pretty special, you know, being there in the front office. I've got Frank Cashin, longtime executive, with me, Al Harrison, and all the Mets guys there. And the Fanatic starts climbing up over people, over rows of seats, you know, one row at a time, over the people who are sitting there. And he keeps climbing up, and I'm thinking, he keeps climbing. He's kind of heading in my direction. I hope he doesn't have to squeeze by me. He comes all the way up, grabs my tie, pulls my face into his snout, and starts doing that. Then he starts messing up my hair. And I'm sitting there trying to be like a cool major league executive, and here I am getting just absolutely ridiculed on the big screen of the Philly Fanatic at the time. It was one of the most embarrassing moments ever.
Yeah, that one would sting. And it's not like it's spring training. That's the World Series.
You could do an Ace Ventura and attack him a little bit.
I should have punched him on the way up, right? I mean, he kind of plays fun with those things for sure. And, you know, and gets people to do it. But I was a young guy and mortified, absolutely mortified, trying to be, you know, cool with all the other executives up there. It's just so embarrassed.
See, I didn't know of your connection with the 93 World Series. So what was going through your mind when Carter walked off in Game 6?
I was still just horribly traumatized by the Fanatic. I didn't even, I don't even remember. It was a great series, obviously. And one that, that Jays team was phenomenal, and the series was phenomenal. I mean, really, those two teams were certainly the best in the game to battle it out right there. It's never left me, the trauma around that series. But rather than celebrate the walk-off, I am still reeling from getting my hair messed up.
Jay Happ was impressive. Was it yesterday or the day before?
A couple days ago,
he got his ninth win. How many more starts do you see him pitching for the Blue Jays?
So I really do believe there's a chance he could be moved by July 1st. There's so many teams. We already have seen a couple of major relievers move with Herrera and Colomé. And I really do think that the teams are defined that need starters. They know who they are. And I think for the Jays, they can really create their own mini market. And the earlier and sooner they move them, I think the more they can ask for in return, because whoever gets them by July 1st will get that many more starts out of them, and they're going to need those starts for some of them to even get to the playoffs, for others maybe to win the division and not be a wild card team. Every time somebody has a bad start or somebody gets hurt in a different franchise, all it does is up the ante there. I really think it behooved them. Why wait for him to have a bad start? He's not going to have more value to anybody and for the Jays than what he has right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're able to pull the trigger here in the next week or so, 10 days.
How many other guys do you have on the radar? There's now, you know, names like Ryan Tepera. His name has been out there. Marco Estrada's obviously got 1 year left. Jaime Garcia is another guy, veteran left-hander. His numbers
are
brutal.
Hang on a sec with Jaime Garcia. Is somebody want him right now?
No, I don't think anybody's going to take Garcia now. Now, Estrada, he strings a couple other, you know, pretty good starts together. I think he's got a shot to get moved. As more of a middle of the rotation guy, but a guy, you know, a veteran pitcher that might help a team, you know, win one or two more regular season games to get to the playoffs. So I could see him being moved. You know, Tepera is an interesting guy because they do have control for a couple more years, whether or not down that road. I think Clippers might get a look from some teams only because he's been moved before and has kind of been through that stuff. I can't imagine they're going to move Smoke as affordable as he is for next year. You know, Kendrys Morales, nobody's going to take him, although he is starting to heat up pretty well right now. I don't suspect they're going to move Grichuk. Granderson and Pierce don't have much of a market. I think it comes down to Donaldson after that and whether, you know, Donaldson can get back, get healthy, and put a run of a good 4 weeks together. I think it's closer to a July 31st deadline, and every bit of that is going to be what can they get and how does it compare to getting a second-round draft pick, because if it's not the value of a second-round draft pick, they're probably better served holding on to them, giving them a qualifying offer in the offseason, and giving themselves a shot to bring him back for a year on a one-year basis. And if not, then you get the draft pick if somebody else signs him. You know, Donaldson will desperately want to get traded at the deadline, because if he does, then he will not be offered, cannot be offered the qualifying offer in free agency in the offseason, and it would make him a much different-looking free agent without the sort of restrictions that come with a qualifying offer and a draft pick being attached to him.
With Steve Phillips, how concerning is this whole Donaldson dance, though? I mean, he's been on the DL for quite some time. He comes up to Toronto, runs the bases, pulls the chute. Now he's back in Florida. I mean, what's going on here with him?
Yeah, it's frustrating. And look, the one thing I've always believed, players want to play. Right, Donaldson, there's nothing we can question about him. About, you know, we can question that he's injury prone, but the fact his desire to play is something that I don't think could be called into question. So I think that he's looking at it thinking, I it's not quite right. I know that if I come back, I could probably play a few games. I could probably nurse it, but I want to be at 100% so I can go out there and gun it and put myself in the best position probably to get traded at this point, because it does behoove him to get moved. So I think he's looking at it, let me get 100% so I can go out there, you know, for 4 weeks and nobody can question that I can do everything on the field and maybe end up getting dealt. And you know, I don't blame him. And remember, even if they do trade him, they could sign him back again next year for the right deal.
Which I don't think that option has been brought up enough. I mean, that's why that's the route I would go with. I understand what you're saying about the qualifying offer and then the idea of maybe the market won't be out there for him because that's hanging over the negotiation. But I would get as much as you can now. And if you really are committed to him, or you feel like, you know, the market isn't out there come the winter meetings, maybe you can circle back. Why can't you try to talk to Donaldson in December?
Well, there's no reason why you can't, right? It's the Yankee Aroldis Chapman move that brought in Gleyber Torres.
Right.
And then they went right back and re-signed him. It's something that I think you might see the Mets try to employ this year with Jeris Familia, with teams looking for end-of-the-game relievers. I can see the Mets trading Familia and then re-signing him to bring it back for next year as well. And so that's certainly an option for Donaldson. It'll come down to what the actual value is. You know, for him, it's got to be, you know, predictability. If someone's going to make a deal for him, particularly a National League team, they're going to have to know that he's healthy, that he can play third base on a regular basis, because they're not going to have the DH option available to him. And so, you know, his health is going to be the critical factor. You know, you're never 100% sure that but if he goes out there and he can really start to run and do his thing on the field, for, you know, a good 3-4 week period, they may get what they want in a deal for him. But, you know, there's a big if in there, and that's when he comes back to play and if he can stay healthy.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it, buddy.
Okay, you bet. My pleasure, guys.
There's Steve Phillips, our TSM Baseball Insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing your service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.com.
You see that situation the other day where Bryce Harper shaved when he played the Yankees? And people were like, he's just trying to show them that he can be a part of the team. Meanwhile,
smart
guys
move.
Like 1-for-26 going into it.
His numbers are
plummeting.
Brutal.
Well, he's like, got 19 home runs, I think.
He's walking a lot. He's getting on base. He's like nowhere close to Mike Trout. Like a couple years ago, remember when he won the NL MVP and there were some debates, who would you rather have? It's not even close anymore.
No.
No, but I mean, Harper's still going to be a very sought-after player.
He's getting paid.
Mike Trout's stats pop up on Twitter once a day, what he did in a game, on base.
It's crazy.
It's gross.
Home runs. It's crazy, his stats.
Well, he just played, I believe he just played his 1,000th game, or he's coming up on 1,000 games. And so he's being compared to all the greats in all the different categories. And the numbers are just off the charts.
They're like, staggering.
Staggering. Like in terms of the hit leaders, Pete Rose, our boy, has the most hits in baseball history. He's got like 90% of the hits that Rose had at 1,000 games. On base percentage, he's like 95% of whoever the all-time great is. I can't remember who it was. Hank Aaron or something like that. Home runs, he's further ahead of where Barry Bonds was at 1,000 games by like a significant margin. So like, in other words, he's creeping up on establishing every record in baseball history if he does this for another decade. Like, that's how
the
great
greatest
Mike
player
Trout is.
Of all time.
The greatest player of all time. And yet, for a lot of people, it's like you couldn't pick him out of a lineup because of his personality and because of where he plays.
The dead moth.
Personality of a dead moth. And that's Mike Trout. Well. And we'll see. I mean, maybe he stays in Anaheim, maybe he doesn't. His deal's up in a couple of years.
seeing the cap ceiling next year has just been released.
NHL salary cap, $79.5 million is the salary cap.
So $3 million raised. Or $4.5 million raised, because it was 75 last year.
Yeah, so not bad. That's some wiggle room. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, sending out a tweet. Offers have been made on Ilya Kovalchuk. L.A. believed to be among them. The Kings, Boston, San Jose, and Vegas still in the mix. So those four teams. It is crazy to see Vegas already right in the middle of everything. 1 year
perfect.
In.
I love it.
Yeah,
that's the way you should do it. You got your team started out. They're good.
Go after it.
You're going to lose James Neal. You're going to lose Perron. Get somebody else to fill the void.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a great move. But again, this time last year, that would be shocking to think that anybody would even listen to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone expected dead last, brutal, we'll see you in 5 years.
Yeah, and there's game nobody six, that final. Called it. Nobody.
Nobody saw that. But now, Game 6 Cup Final, Coach of the Year, yeah. Lady Bing, Executive of the Year, Vegas, everyone was gravitating to them.
Expectations now.
And now it's like, yeah, we can talk to Kovalchuk. We'll swing a deal for Carlson. See, we'll talk to John Tavares.
Yeah.
Impressive.
It is. And they've got money in cap space.
Yeah, they do. Keith Tkachuk will join us. His son, Brady Tkachuk, expected to go in the top five tomorrow night. Matthew Tkachuk, of course, out in Calgary, so we'll catch up with him. And we got Bobby Mack from Dallas ahead of the draft. He's coming up at 6:10. Thanks for listening to Overdrive. Visit tsn1050.ca where you can win $1,000 in free golf from underpar.com. We'll also award five runners-up with $100 gift cards. Enter up to once per day until July 1st. Pay less and play more with underpar.com. Overdrive delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Bob McKenzie coming up in the next hour, live from the NHL draft down in Dallas. Bobby Mack tweeting out no more than a minute ago that Buffalo is not expected to give goaltender Robin Lehner his qualifying offer.
Let me put on my surprise face.
So he will now be a UFA. Nice trade. Tim Murray. Remember that?
First round pick.
Straight up for Robin Lehner.
Yep.
And Leonard's one of those guys who's got all the tools. He's a big guy, looks athletic, just never gets the job done in net.
Well, he's one of those things. We talked about it with Reimer, Bernie. The team in front of him has been so bad. How do you expect a goaltender with those high quality shots to have any kind of success? But I don't. He's not one of my favorites.
No.
I don't like him as a goalie.
I don't like him either, but you're right. You play for an awful team, you're going to look bad. You know, and I someone's going to give him another opportunity. I don't think he's going to be out of the NHL, but he's not going to be a starter anywhere. But there's a lot coming out of Ottawa. Pierre Dorion was speaking with the media today and trying to convince people that he heard about the Carlson-Hoffman riff as a rumor at the end of the season, which I find... A, difficult to believe.
I don't think you could ever say that as a rumor, because if you hear the rumor, you call the player and ask him directly, is this true? So it's not a rumor.
I just...
Like, what was he in a pub and someone who's like, oh, I heard this and this.
I know.
Like,
exactly. Where did you hear the rumor? Where did you hear this explosive rumor? And you heard about it at the end of the season. That's rather convenient. Because now, apparently, he's done his due diligence, because he said today he had to trade Mike Hoffman because his room was broken. So what he's doing is saying that Mike Hoffman was the poison in the room, so Hoffman had to go in Ottawa, but he's figured all of this out in the past couple of months, but at the same time, it's not an indictment on Mike Hoffman, because he's got to be careful, because these are only allegations against his fiance. It's a fiasco in Ottawa. But I do think this gets back to what we were talking about last week, where I said this story can carry over into next season because of the third party involved. Hoffman's in Florida. Carlson may be somewhere else by the end of the weekend. So neither guy may be in Ottawa. But the way the story continues is with a comment like this today out of Pierre Dorion. Where instead of him just not giving any information on it, he comes out and gives you a date. I heard it as a rumor at the end of the season. If you're a journalist, you're like, challenge accepted. I'll dig in on that one. I'll find out exactly when you actually heard about this.
Yeah.
Because if it turns out he heard about it in December, why did you tell people it was a rumor at the end of the year? I just that's right when I heard him say it, or I read the quote on Twitter, I'm like, Why would you put yourself out like that? Why would you place a
date? Using that terminology, I heard it as a rumor at the end of the year. You're putting yourself out there for somebody to go up and say, I looked into this, this, and this. If somebody could do some research and figure out the tweets going to Colangelo's phone and his wife's phone, someone's going to find out when you were made aware of it.
Exactly. So
I hope it's at the end of the year as a rumor, whatever that means.
For his sake, I hope so, too. He wouldn't talk about Carlson. He wouldn't talk about any of the other players potentially available. Peter Chiarelli, the GM of the Oilers, was willing to talk. He said the 10th pick is up for grabs if someone's willing to trade him a defenseman. And people in Edmonton are just terrified that he's going to get rinsed again, that he's going to make a trade where he's desperate. Because last night was a bad look for him. Taylor Hall wins the Hart. Taylor Hall wins the Hart Trophy, and Chiarelli's out here still looking for a defenseman. That's why you made the trade. You brought in Adam Larson for a reason, to solidify your defense.
Fake Peter Chiarelli on Twitter is going to say, we'll trade the 10th pick to reacquire Griffin Reinhart.
That would be a tweet from him. I worry for Oilers fans. I worry about their psyche. I worry about how they feel about their team. Because Peter Chiarelli is maybe the least supported GM in the league. It's either him or Bergevin in Montreal. It's one of those two cities.
And you thought going in, he was just walking into the perfect scenario. They made the playoffs, Connor McDavid, MVP, blah, blah, blah. And it just seemed like it was going to set up for cup success and all that. And it's 1 year after playoffs, it's turned into a sideshow.
No kidding. NHL draft tomorrow night. The Tkachuk name has been a big part of the NHL for a long, long time. Matthew Tkachuk went a few years ago to Calgary. And now his brother Brady Tkachuk expected to go top five tomorrow night, and his dad is on the line. We have not caught up with him in a long time. I'm not sure he's ever been on the show, which is shocking. Here is longtime NHLer Keith Tkachuk. How you doing, Keith?
I'm doing great, guys. How are things going up north?
Oh, man, we're doing okay. We're gearing up for what's going to be going down tomorrow night, and this is your second time in a few years where you've got your son expected to go in the top five. Is it easier on the nerves the second time through?
Yeah, you know what it is. I think so. Obviously, we learned a lot about, you know, the ups and downs of what happened 2 years ago, and all the excitement and all the people and all everything that surrounds a great event like the NHL draft. So I think now we're just anxious to see, you know, where he does go.
Walt, a lot of hockey dads, even former NHL players, they watch their kid and it just crushes them that they're not any good and they're not going anywhere. When did you know your boys were going to, you know, they had a chance, or they were, you know, they're going to have the opportunity to move forward in hockey?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, as they're growing up, I think once they took that major step to the National Development Program and getting picked for that, you kind of knew they might have a chance. And obviously, they needed a lot of work to get there, and they still need a lot of work to continue, you know, to get to the National Hockey League. But, you know, when they're younger, you're just hoping they get a college scholarship, never mind you know, be able to be at the draft and seeing your name get called somewhere in the first round. So it's an exciting time for our family. We're looking forward to it. And, you know, I'm just blessed. Both boys are healthy and good kids.
When does the hockey dad advice stop for the players, the kids? I mean, is your son Matthew getting calls from his dad saying, what the hell were you doing that shift? Or when you get to the NHL, it all stops?
No, you're still a dad. And, you know, when you do questionable stuff, you might get on him a little bit. But at the end of the day, he's playing the National Hockey League. I'm not. And I can tell, I know him well enough now where Matthew, you know, if he knows when he doesn't play well, and he doesn't need it from me. And he'll call and he'll ask for advice. And that's when we talk, you know. And Brady the same. You know, Brady's, you know, at the end of the day, you know, these kids got to learn a little bit on their own and just be there to support them. But if they do something stupid, you got to let them know.
You ever call Matthew up and say, can you leave your mouth guard in and stop chewing on it?
You know what? There is things you can, you know, everybody knows who's a parent. You pick and choose your battles. Maybe it's, yeah, that mouthpiece drives me nuts. But, you know, especially all the money we paid to, you know, get things fixed over the course of the year. So I'm more concerned about getting a haircut. I don't like when his hair is too long.
With Keith Tkachuk again.
That's because you don't have any more hair anymore.
Exactly. That's what he says to me. Don't be jealous.
His son, Matthew Tkachuk, of course, in Calgary. Brady Tkachuk, his other son, expected to go in the top five or top ten tomorrow night, and a couple of Canadian teams in that top five. I mean, you're well aware of playing in Canada. Matthew plays in Canada. How would you feel about a three-pack if Brady goes to Ottawa or Montreal tomorrow night?
Yeah, it'd be a little strange being an American kid and all three of us maybe getting the opportunity to play in up in Canada. But, you know, wherever he goes, he goes. I mean, you know, I'd selfishly I'd like to have at least one of them close to home, but, you know, we don't get to choose that. It's out of our control. And wherever he goes, and, you know, he'll be excited.
I think a lot of people just assume that Brady plays like you and plays like Matthew. I mean, how would you? Are there any differences in his game compared to you and Matthew? Do you look at him differently than the way you guys play?
You know what? I think the one thing, I think we're all pretty competitive or try to play that power game. I think Brady's probably fast. Well, he is faster than Matthew, and he's taller and, you know, likes to make contact out there. I mean, Matthew's a pretty smart player, and at the end of the day, they both have a lot of work they need to improve on and like different aspects of their game, but they both like to get in the dirty areas and around the net and from the dots down, and, you know, I think that's one of their biggest assets. It's strength on the puck, so, you know, Brady's got some hands like Matthew, and, you know, they both like to compete hard, and that's what I love about him.
You think Brady's ready to play in the NHL right now, Keith?
You know what? That's a good question. It's a big jump. I think he's leaning towards that right now, but I said the same thing about Matthew. I didn't think Matthew was ready, and he proved me wrong. I think he did it on purpose to prove me wrong, but Brady has that option to go back. I guess we'll have to see, but most likely, you know, probably end up going back for a year.
With Keith Tkachuk, you played in a different era, different style. Oh, you talk about it all the time. Not as much fighting, not as much hitting, but there's still room for agitation and physicality. And I think you see it out of Matthew. I think we're expecting that out of Brady.
Well, you see it in the playoffs too, Brian. Oh, the regular season's a joke to watch. Nobody hits anybody. But come playoff time, if you don't have guys that want to play physical, you will not win.
Right. Do you see that too, Keith? I mean, do you still enjoy the physicality in the game?
I love it. I mean, obviously, you got to be aware of what you're doing out there. But look how effective Tom Wilson was for the Washington Capitals. You know what? He might not be the big name like Ovechkin and Kuznetsov, but he was a big factor in them winning the Stanley Cup. And so I think you need those type of guys. And, you know, but there is a fine line, you know, to be physical at certain times. But I love how guys get in there and play with that edge. I think it really helps out some of the other players on your team.
Well, we're looking forward to tomorrow night. I know you are as well. Good luck with everything with Brady and the boys. And thank you for doing this today. We appreciate it, Keith.
Well, I appreciate it. Good talking to you guys. Take care. Thank you very much.
There's Keith Tkachuk, five-time NHL All-Star. He's got Matthew Tkachuk in Calgary already with the Flames. Brady Tkachuk more than likely going in the top five tomorrow night. Tkachuk family makes it rain in the NHL.
Be pretty cool summers, you know. Two boys, dad, golfing, training. Just be a lot of fun. It'd be a cool dynamic.
Well, I saw someone tweeting about this today. I guess, you know, Brady Tkachuk is down there speaking with the media, and he's, I don't know how much weight you're supposed to put into this, because these are kids, and they're
saying he wants to go back to school for a year?
No. He's saying, like, it would be cool to play with Matthew one day, play with his brother one day. And I think it might have been Matt Sakaris out in Vancouver who was, like, basically trying to put two and two together. Could it get to a point where when they're free agents, they decide to co-conspire and find a way to be on the same team? And I don't know. I mean, that would be a cool story, but that's so far down the road. I mean, you're not going to be thinking about that when you draft the guy. You're not going to draft him and be like, uh-oh, he's going to go to Calgary to play with Matthew in 7 years. And again, he's 18 years old. He was probably posed a question. What's he supposed to say? No, that wouldn't be cool for me to play with him at some point. Of course he's going to give you that answer. But it is a rarity. You just don't see it that often in pro sports, especially guys who go that high in the draft. You know, this isn't a Wayne Gretzky with Brent Gretzky. You know, this is two guys.
That's always so hard to orchestrate, though. When you get to unrestricted, you're going to delay an entire team. I'm not signing an extension. Everybody knows what's up. But generally, the only way that stuff happens is if one gets traded for.
He feels like the unique player in the draft, in the top 10. Brady Tkachuk is.
I'll tell you what, if they're saying that Svechnikov is the clear away number two, which they're all saying, if I'm three, I'd be awfully difficult to walk away from him. He's a game breaker. He's a, not maybe a game changer.
Montreal's got that pick.
Well, I don't know. He'd be tough for me to say, no, I'm walking away from that.
I hear you. I mean, what I saw at the World Juniors, what I've seen out of his tape, and what I've heard from different people, like, he's a lot like Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah, and how could you not want that?
That's exactly what you'd want on your team. But, I mean, there are different types of players. Maybe this Zadina kid's a guy who could potentially score 35 and be a game changer as well. I'm sure that's what the expectation is. But Dahlin's a different beast. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going first overall. He's gone. Svechnikov is a big, you know, physical, hands, goal scorer with pace who's likely going second. But then, by all accounts, it's like smaller skilled defensemen, smaller skilled wingers and centers and two-way guys.
That's why I'm taking this guy that plays every night.
He's kind of the unicorn type in terms of the top 10. You know, a guy who's kind of grit grinder, throwback type. But you have to expect offense out of a guy you're picking in the top five.
Yeah.
You know,
you've got to be hoping that he turns into a 25 goal scorer.
Exactly.
Or more.
So shout out to Keith Tkachuk. Thank you for joining us. We'll catch up with Bob McKenzie down in Dallas in the next hour. The NBA draft tonight, we'll get back into the Woj bomb that dropped just before 4 p.m. that I have a feeling is causing a bit of a ripple effect at ESPN just based on their draft night policy.
Incredible.
Yeah, so we'll tell you more about that as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Bob McKenzie live from Dallas ahead of the NHL draft tomorrow night. He's coming up in the 6 p.m. hour. It's the NBA draft tonight. We're going to get back into the Wojnarowski Woj bomb from about 3:50 this afternoon.
That's a drag bunt, I think.
Big time. Basically said, this is what's going to happen the first six picks of the NBA draft tonight. This is how it's shaping up. I know so much, I'm going to ruin the suspense of the first six picks.
And the fans and everyone.
Yeah.
Like, he's... Now, the more that I think about it, is very heroic.
It is.
I just want to know what the boss has said to him, if anything. And well, I know there's thought out there. We got a response from a colleague of ours. You can't shackle your insiders.
Yes.
But this was talked about weeks ago where these people could not tip off picks. And he went and read out the first six of the draft.
Now, maybe his defense will be, listen, it's not a lock. I'm just saying this is how it's shaping up.
Ryan, he's been around long enough where he would have wrote that. This is not a lock by any means, but this is what I think.
Yeah, I think he's got a pretty good idea of what these six teams are planning on doing. I mean, I think I'm willing to go down with the ship when it comes to Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN NBA insider, who announced on Twitter the first six picks and how it's all going to play out. But ESPN, based on my understanding, has a policy in-house because they own the rights to the NBA draft. No tipping picks because, we're working with the NBA, but also we want people to tune in and watch live, and we want the theater to be there. We want the dramatics of not knowing who's going second, third, fourth, fifth, etc.
Right.
And if you are on Twitter, you're made aware of it well in advance, and it kind of takes away from the suspense. If he's got this right, you might as well tune in for the seventh pick.
Right, right.
Because he's told you who's going one through six.
Well, that's where I think he's flat out just drag bunted everyone. And you know, the build up. I mean, we all know who's going one, but like the build up after that. That's like Bobby Mack saying Montreal's picking this player, Ottawa's picking this player.
It's
like it's
literally
it's
the exact same thing. Literally. But doing it not even 2 minutes before the pick. We have come accustomed to that. If you're on Twitter during drafts,
right,
insiders are going to tell you who's coming up a minute before it's taken. This is 4 hours before the draft. This is much different than anything I've ever seen before. I mean, I guess I got to give the guy credit.
Right.
Like journalistically, in terms of the insight that he has and the connections he has, this is a Viagra pill.
It's impressive.
It is
impressive. I will say that, but it's still.
This is him telling the whole world, don't test me.
Yeah.
Don't think anybody else is close. I got all six picks.
Yeah, it's
and
there's
I'm
one
just
other guy that's
hot.
I think he's from a different network, but is Shams.
He's at Yahoo, and he was Wojnarowski's understudy at Yahoo. And when Woj went to ESPN, he took over as the man at Yahoo. He's pretty connected too. And I would assume there's probably some competition ongoing here where Woj is like, I got to get this out because if I don't,
Shams is going to.
He's doing it in like an hour. Yeah. So that's what also happens here, man. There's battles between the insiders.
He probably gets a slap on the wrist.
Ron Burgundy versus Wes Mantooth.
Don't you talk bad about Dorothy Mantooth.
She's a saint.
She's a saint.
Did you see that study that came out last night that Toronto has the worst commute
yes.
in all
oh,
of
believe
North
me,
America?
I was going to cut.
Seventh.
No, sixth around the world.
Around the world.
Number one in North America.
I was going to cut and paste it and send it to you guys. I said
to somebody the other day, whoever says L.A. traffic is the worst, this has got to be the worst.
You got nothing on Toronto.
I've lived in L.A. I've lived in Toronto. Toronto's worse. L.A. is, at least it's aggressive. The highways are massive, and people drive to go. Here, the highways are massive, and people are just
the stop and
stumbling
chats.
Around, and like I've never seen anything like it.
Well, a lot of it is the driving. It is.
It is the driving.
A lot of it is the driving, because you're right. In terms of the masses, there's way more people in L.A.
Yeah.
And there's more people in New York. Now, I find it hard to believe traffic in Manhattan at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon? I mean, but I would think that would be pretty tough.
I was in New York not that long ago. You know why it's not? It's because everyone there knows how to drive. They're aggressive. So my cab driver at one point was like halfway up on the sidewalks getting around.
Well, you know what they do in New York? They lay a horn.
There's a horn involved.
They lay a horn six cars back when the light turned green.
Exactly.
Half second ago.
Let's go.
Let's go.
They want to move it along. Believe me. I know. My favorite two words. Let's go.
Let's go.
And here?
No.
And it just drives me nuts. I know pedestrians have the right of way and bikes and all that. But like, you know what my biggest pet peeve in this area right now is? If you're waiting to turn right onto a busy street and some jackass is taking their sweet-ass time walking across the street and there's 10 people waiting for them.
There is a problem in the world today where I think that people are punking me because they just take so long to cross the street. Move your ass.
I get it. You're 100% in the right as a pedestrian. But it doesn't give you the right to be a jackass about it.
Like, I like the crosswalk where they hit the button, the yellow lights come on, and they just saunter across. The young people, doesn't matter.
Well, the worst one is phone guy. On their phone, head down. Like,
that's dangerous.
It's phone very guy dangerous. Is dangerous. I think it's actually become illegal somewhere recently.
It should be.
Being on your phone crossing the street.
You should not be able to walk the streets of any major city looking at your phone.
And
you shouldn't be able to drive looking at your phone.
I just want people to be safe. And pedestrians and bikes, we've seen. I mean, there's accidents all the time. People
it is
on
a
bikes
real problem in the city right now.
You know why? It's people have to, in cars have to be aware, and the people on bikes have to be super aware.
It's mutual
as well.
Respect.
There's
no respect for anything or for anybody. And everyone's flustered. Everyone's rattled.
Exactly. And it's
the transit
work
system
together.
Doesn't help.
I joke about it and I get frustrated with you want people to be safe. And you want them, but you also, because of the population, because of the roads are jammed, you want people to be on the same page. Like, and you know, not be ignorant behind the wheel. There's a lot of ignoramuses behind the wheel.
I like that handle. Like
ignoramus.
That word. Great word. Bobby Mack from Dallas, ahead of the NHL draft, the NBA draft tonight. Jays are in Anaheim, taking on Mike Trout and the Angels. And the Maple Leafs have unveiled their schedule. We'll tell you when they're in Vegas next.